Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they
are. Hello and welcome to episode 109. That is 109, not 1099, as somebody tried to trick me. The Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my compatriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. What's up, man? What's up?
Recovering from the week, if you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
No.
Oh. Tell me.
WordCamp US.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, you were only there for like 2.5 days.
Yeah.
Barely, more like 2 days.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, the time you came in and left, yeah, you were in and out. I was there for 5.
I don't linger with those nerds.
Yeah. I was there for a solid 5, like a solid 5 days.
Holy God.
It took a toll. I have a tattoo, which I cannot explain.
That's what happens, man.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I am really surprised that, to get a picture of you and Bud Dunn on my body was just, to wake up with that was awkward.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's for life.
It is, you know, and he is a fantastic, I'm so happy that I finally got to meet Bud Dunn.
I'm like, he's the reason that I went.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't get enough time. I mean, you always need more Bud.
I can't get enough Bud.
This is going off the rails, this episode. Yeah. But yeah, WordCamp US was fantastic. It was a good conference. It was just a lot for 5 days. Because, and I was telling other people in my retrospective conversations, that, you know, a normal camp, 200-400 people, you know, it's 9-10 months of planning. But then when the camp happens, like the day of setup, it just runs for the most part relatively smoothly. And not to say US didn't run smoothly, but it's just such a bigger scale. You have to show up 2 days ahead of time to tour the venue, to know where everything is, to get the signage, to, you know, just to go pick up paperwork. And the venues themselves are just, you know, 10x in scale. So you're doing a lot of walking.
Right.
You know, I mean, I did like 20,000 steps for 2 days in a row out of the 5, you know, then I was down to 15,000 steps, you know,
really, so
it's just tiring. It's just, and then all the events you go to, you know, and whatnot. So, it was good though.
I walked a lot less this time.
Did you?
Like I said, I mean, you know, I was only there for a squishy 2 days.
Yeah.
And not the solid 5.
Right. Right.
I never went to I never even found the session rooms.
Like, wow.
I never went to a single one of them.
Hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm considering my 5 days as my 5 for 5. Or my, you know, my, you know, I mean,
5 for the future.
5 for the future right there. 5 for the future. That's this week. This I covered my 5 for the future last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's really nice of you.
Thank you.
And the community thanks you.
Yes, of course.
Contribution.
Yeah. So, what else is going on in your world?
We made a big decision. Like, you remember last year, I talked a lot about like, oh, I want to go on like a big trip or something. And we talked about doing this whole family thing, maybe in Europe. Mm-hmm. We spent months trying to figure out where to go, mm-hmm. and researching all these places, 'cause we haven't traveled much, and ultimately came up with a pretty complicated plan of visiting like 3 different countries and a trip to Europe, mm-hmm. gone for 6 weeks, yada, yada. Well, we wanted to do something in 2020, but I'm pleased to say, like, the decision-making process was really fast this time.
Where are you going?
We talked about it for a little bit, and then one day we just decided we're going to Ireland next year.
Ireland? Well, that's great. That's fantastic, my friend. I might do the rest of the show in this voice. Well, maybe I won't. ironically enough, I'm going to Ireland.
No, you're
next year.
Not.
Yeah.
No, you're not. No.
I am. Well, actually, no. here's the story on that. Two parts of the story. Part one is I tweeted a photo from WordCamp, and somebody in Ireland who happens to be a fan of Kitchen Sink, the podcast, and this show as well, tweeted back out about the yoga that I took a picture of. And then they indicated that they would like to have me come out and speak at Ireland, either Belfast or Dublin, I believe. Which isn't, both aren't Ireland, FYI. And then another person I met and interviewed me said I was also invited to go to Pakistan next year. It's a toss-up. But, you know, when you're invited to speak, it's one thing, but are they also inviting to put me up or pay? I don't know. That's a whole separate story. But ironically enough, in the Ireland discussion, Ellen and I have discussed about going to Ireland like next year, potentially just the two of us or all five of us, if we can make that work for the calendar, because a lot of people in her industry, a lot of flight attendants and whatnot, and pilots, they just pop over to Ireland. They always say, we're going to pop over to Ireland for like the weekend or for like a 4-day jaunt. Apparently, it's like a very common thing now in that industry. I'm like, it's definitely on our radar. So it'd be awesome if we did it when you were there.
That would be pretty cool.
We'll talk about those dates afterwards. We'll see if that works out. So,
I might be there for a very important Irish holiday.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. So that's it. You know, just and also I might be going to see my daughter in a week and a half. Actually, I guess the day this episode comes out, it'll be like 3 days later. She's having a little family thing for the sorority she's in up in college. She really wants me to come up. I really want to see her, but then I'll see her like in 10 days later at Thanksgiving. I don't know. It's like, do I go up? Not go up? Leave the boys alone again? It's tough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, that's where I'm at with things there. Yeah, anything else you got for life?
Mm-mm.
No. Mm-mm. Did you enjoy camp? I mean, I know you didn't go to sessions, but did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Good. I mean, we didn't see each other too much.
Like I said, I enjoyed it.
Wow.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything.
So mean. All right, news. You get this first one. I'm going to add the second one because I'm going to put that in the notes right now, actually.
There's more news?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, okay. So what's happening in the news? Post Status released, or like is in the process of releasing a cool new resource, poststatus.com/hired. And this is for anyone who is looking to find work in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that this was great. Mm-hmm. I was really excited about this because I don't know about you. You probably do as often as I do, but I get a lot of questions from people in my life. You know, there's maybe my many younger siblings or all of these other friends that I have. Just, you know, other people who see some appeal in the work lifestyle that you and I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we get by, we make a living. We enjoy our work. We work in a community that we're enthusiastic about. We participate in this cult that people call the WordPress community. And we get to do it while working from home and wearing what we want and working our own hours and all that kind of stuff. And people are like, hey, that looks cool. How do I get in?
Right.
And I've never had really good answers to this. Maybe just like my own rants, as I'm very wont to do at times. But now I feel like Brian behind Post Status is pretty good at coming up with really solid, thorough, comprehensive resources that I'm comfortable sharing. And from now on, I think this is going to be the resource that I just send to people.
Right.
Hey, you want to learn more about how to get work in our industry, regardless of your background or skill set? Yeah, just check this. Start here.
Right on. And what's it called?
It's called Hired.
Okay.
By Post Status. I talked to him a little bit in person about it.
Yeah.
He was telling me he's actually like actively working with some people who are trying to transition into this industry, and that's becoming the basis for the development of the content in this program.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free thing. You just like, kind of sign up, and you'll probably get like a series of emails with information or mm-hmm. posts. I don't really know.
Yeah.
It's being worked on.
It's over at poststatus.com/hired. Link in the show notes also. So
right.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Right.
It's not like a codable per se. It's a hybrid. It's interesting. It'll be very interesting how this rolls out. I am interested in seeing this because, you know, as you know, I mean, I have a little thing on the side of the side of the side, which, you know, called Can You Start Yesterday? It's more of my connecting the dots, finding people who need an employee or a part-timer. You know, that kind of thing. You know, my friend Jamie Curry kind of motivated me to build it like 2 years ago. You know, it's subtle, it's small, but it's me hands-on doing, helping people find a temporary fit.
Mm-hmm.
Who already, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. So it's different. So when I saw this, I'm like, wait a minute, but it is totally different. It's a resource for learning how to get into the industry in general. Mm-hmm. Right. So, also in the news, which we didn't mention last week or whatever, Open.Film is now released. The documentary, the short documentary, but 13 minutes long, was premiered at WordCamp US. That's over at Open.Film. You and I were both interviewed for it, along with like 36, 35 other people. It was edited for time. You know, it literally, they're going to make a longer version. I get a small little, I don't know, 3 lines in there. Compared to others, which is fine. You know, I mean, I'm looking forward to them doing a longer version, but we recorded that, or they interviewed us over last year, like WordCamp US last year, mm-hmm. WordCamp Phoenix, you know, they did 4 camps or whatever. It was pretty cool. And then we were both at the little party that they had at WordCamp US as well. Mm-hmm. I saw your photo of the, on the red carpet. It was pretty cool. My photo didn't appear anywhere. I'm like, huh, that's awkward. it is what it is.
They took a lot of pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there were other pictures I was in that they didn't.
Yeah, I wasn't there very long. For the pictures inside and stuff, I wasn't there for any of those.
Yeah, you left pretty early.
I was
kind of strange.
I was off to a jaunt to some other events I was invited to, so yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It is. Okay. I'm a strange person.
Yeah, you are.
There's a song about that, but it's not this one. Oops. So this was interesting to me. I saw an old friend at WordCamp US, and it was, I'm like, hey, what's he doing here? And yeah. I was like, huh, didn't see that coming. Did you?
I guess I hadn't thought about it.
Right.
I'm not particularly surprised.
So we're speaking about Mendel. Mendel Kurland is now back in the WordPress space. He's joining Liquid Web. I'm not sure in what role, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty neat. Congrats to Mendel. And yeah. Congrats to Liquid Web.
He had left GoDaddy 2 years ago, approximately.
Wow, was it that long already?
I think so, yeah. At least 2 years ago, he was pursuing his pursuit of outdoors and events and getting people unplugged, if you will, and kind of just recharging, mm-hmm. which I thought was awesome. And I really wanted to go on one or two of those outings. Timing didn't work out. And they weren't really expensive. They really were quite affordable for what you got. It's just the timing on my calendar for the last year or two didn't work. I think he's still doing that as well. It's just a matter of he's now going to work to join Liquid Web.
Yeah.
You want to do the Nether one? Because I don't know who these people are.
Oh, well, I know these people quite well.
Okay.
Adam Pickering sold his company Astoundify, and he is now currently working as a senior designer at Gravity Forums.
Cool. Now, awesome.
If you don't know Adam, he's been in the game a long time and doing a lot of, I think, pretty significant things.
What was Astoundify? What was that about? Was it a theme shop?
Mostly like a theme company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They had some popular themes, but he also had other like theme brands over the years, and they were some of the more successful Envato sellers.
Gotcha.
And he's been doing this quite a while. And Adam was actually one of the first people that I ever met at my first WordCamp.
Oh, wow.
So we've known each other a long time, done some things together, and congratulate him on this new move. I think it's kind of a big deal.
Very cool.
Also, Leland Fiegel was self-employed for a little while. I don't really know exactly how long he had a theme business of his own. Now he's working for LearnDash. Isn't that cool?
That's very cool. Congratulations to all of those people.
Definitely. Congrats. My hot take is Michigan is the epicenter of WordPress business.
Well, isn't Adam from Canada?
Yeah.
Is he?
So, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, okay. Liquid Web is hiring everybody.
Oh,
and,
gotcha.
You know, it got like all these other hosting companies like Nexus and Cloud Access and A2 Hosting, and LearnDash is from here. Like, I mean, Michigan is the place to be.
I see what you. Okay, now
it
I
really
see.
Is.
I see the connection now. I was like, what? Wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The growing successful WordPress businesses
right
here.
And the number two is Raleigh Durham Triangle, the RTP Triangle. FYI.
Sure.
I'll take second place. Anyway, right on. What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? All right, I'm going first. I'm wearing a WordCamp US 2019 shirt. I'm wearing actually the attendee shirt, the blue one, because we were also given, I was given two red ones as the organizer to wear both days. So if you're hot and sweaty, you could switch out a shirt. And I'm drinking some coffee, but not only am I drinking coffee, I didn't show this to you on purpose earlier. I'm drinking coffee from the cutest cup ever. The cutest. It has all the logos, all the mascots of Sand Hills Development.
It's pretty cool.
It's really cool. I love this little mug. I really do. I'm not going to tell you. I mean, I could tear up right now, but because you know me, I'm pretty sappy when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Well, yeah.
I like some people that work at that company. yeah. Not all, I mean, some. Not. I mean, like, not you, but I love Tyler.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. I get it.
I'm reading. You know what I'm reading? I'm reading a stack of paperwork for health insurance because.
Ooh.
I don't want to go into it, but yeah, it sucks. We were kicked out of the health insurance program back in June. I appealed because I said, do you not like this? We were kicked out because of just a silly note here. They didn't see my income, my taxes in time. So we were dismissed. And then, of course, they send you a letter that says, here's what happened. Do you agree with this or do you want to appeal this decision? I'm like, I will appeal it. So 5 months later, I win the appeal. But so technically for 5 months, we had no insurance for myself.
Dear.
Yeah, it was weird. I didn't know this. Luckily, I'm healthy. But so now I've won the appeal. I'm grandfathered in from the back. Like I get retroactively insurance, not that I had any bills. But now I still have to show proof of income. And now I have to show proof of citizenship for some odd reason.
Wow.
And nice. This is all due by technically February 2020. But now 2020... program, I have to pick a new insurance for that because I'm in the ACA. You know, I use the Affordable Care Act. I use the program for North Carolina. So it's very confusing.
Oh my God.
It's a lot of paperwork. It's just the government at its best. When I say best, I mean not best.
Yeah.
So anyway, what do you got? What are you wearing, drinking, reading?
I'm wearing a WP Engine WordCamp US t-shirt under a WordCamp Chicago 2016 hoodie. I want to say props to WP Engine for consistently making pretty decent t-shirts. They make a new one for every single year.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've had more t-shirts from a single company besides them.
Okay.
They design pretty decent ones every year.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm sipping on some orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still reading Traction.
Okay. Okay. We'll leave that alone. So,
thanks.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
Oh, it's time for me to tell you a really good joke that your son told me the other day.
Okay, go right ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was so good. It has something to do with a Lamborghini, I think.
Do you know the joke? Do you want to? Anyway, we'll add it at the end as a bonus. No, it's not that time. It's not time for that. It's actually this time. That's right. It's questions time. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. It's time for options and jokes for later. You ready, Kyle? All right. Why don't you ask this first one and I will approach an answer.
Yeah. We've got a great question here. It's a good one.
It is a good
quality
one.
Question.
Yeah.
Top. Like this is one of the top questions we've ever gotten. Is it possible for someone older, like myself, who has no technical background, to learn the necessary new skills to get a remote job in the WordPress space? This comes from Michael Maurer.
Ooh, Michael Maurer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a stab at this. Here's an option. I have a little, I thought about this a lot. Dear Michael, dearest Michael. Oh, my boy. You are the epitome of the perfect candidate for someone to jump into the WordPress space. The lack of skills is the passphrase to the gates of running an agency, my friend. Spin up a single page site, offer your services at rock bottom prices, and reap the rewards without any knowledge of knowing better. You are destined for greatness. And don't forget, please don't forget, Michael, to use my affiliate links for Hover.com, AWeber, WP Engine, Termageddon, and Optin Monster, of course, and Beaver Builder.
Wow.
So yes, it is possible if you do exactly as I tell you to follow my 10 steps to building an agency.
Okay, good. That's great. Well, be encouraged,
yes.
Dear listener, by Adam's wisdom. I don't think you've ever seen the show, but there's a brilliant episode of The IT Crowd, which is one of my all-time favorite shows. Where Moss and Roy, the couple of the lead characters, use a website that teaches sports lingo to learn how to hang with the other men while watching the match at the pub. It's a British show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we could suggest some statements to listeners that will help you fit in and make people think you're one of us. Yeah, this might just help you on your journey. So some ideas of just like little statements that you could throw in conversation and interviews or mingling with people so that they think you are a veteran of the space and belong there. So fast track you. All right, here's one. Chatting with other people and you say, well, we're all going to be working for Matt someday, just a question of when. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
And everybody will be like, yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right. Agreement. You could also say, call me old-fashioned, but I'm partial to REST APIs over GraphQL. Right. People will nod in agreement. You could tell a story with a punchline and say, and the client said to me, I don't think we should use Gatsby. So I said, okay, boomer.
That is so good because I just watched that this morning.
Yeah.
I seriously know exactly what you're referencing. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Or you could always just start conversation by saying, you catch that crazy conversation that Christy started on Twitter last night?
There's that. Yeah.
Yeah. These are just some phrases for you.
Right. You know, and I kind of, it's funny that you brought this up in this way because honestly, I had a conversation a couple days ago with Ellen about, like, I was kind of poking fun of what she does, like, and how her vernacular and her verbiage. We're looking at a calendar, and I said, she said she's going on a fake three-day trip, and I said, well, I could always drop these 2 days and pick up this week, and I can PTO that week or those few days. Like, I know her terminology, and I know what it means, because she's always talking about it. And I said, do you even know what I do? I asked her this question over often during the year, and the kids, too, and they try to chime in. I go, do you know any of the things I say, like, what they mean? And she came back with, literally, she goes, well, yeah, like, you talk about, and she was like, she says like Slack and and she says something like maintenance or retainer packaging. It was so, oh, and she also did say, she was like, there's like a 404 error. I'm like, that's from like the opening of my other podcast. That's like not even a thing anymore, but it's so funny that she's like, she was grabbing at straws and she doesn't know, like what you said is conversational.
Yeah,
in our world, Ellen doesn't really know. I found it really funny. Like I was crying so hard.
Adorable.
It was adorable. It was really cute. So,
yeah.
Oh man. But yeah. I think Michael can jump into the industry. It doesn't matter the age. We have a lot of people. Do we know how old Michael is? Is he what? Is he in his 50s, 60s?
I mean, older than you.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, isn't that Michael Maurer your father?
Yep.
Okay. So I do know how old he is. Yeah, I see no problem with somebody jumping into the industry at any age, as long as there's true interest in learning something within the space. Because as we've talked about before, there are lots of things to do within the WordPress space. You don't have to be You don't have to be a pure developer. You can be a project manager. You can be a designer. You can do accessibility, translation. Business strategy. There's so many different categories. You know, we could peel this onion for 2 hours and barely touch the surface. You know, so yeah, I don't think it's an age thing. I think it needs to be more of a how do you want to participate thing. And you know, and what are the goals that you have? Are they financial or are they keep your mind active, occupied? You know, it like depends on, you know, if you're assuming that, let's say you're 60, 55, 67 years old, where are you in your life? What is it that your goals are there? I would look at that from the perspective first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would more or less agree. I'd say, heck yeah. Heck yeah, you can find a space here. In fact, I would even think you'd have an advantage.
What happened to your voice?
Yeah, the thing is, the internet and also our industry goes through phases.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all humans, so we all get caught up in the trends and copying everyone else and then become reluctant to change. So us in the web design world, we are guilty of making websites not responsive because in the early days, websites are by default responsive. We make them not responsive by building them in a stupid way. We're responsible for things like pop-ups. We're responsible for sliders.
Saw that coming.
We're responsible for auto-playing media on websites. We are the reason I mean, we are responsible for going so crazy with tracking users and with data collection that governments were forced to intervene and rein us in a little bit. Like, we've caused a lot of problems and have a lot of baggage and a weird, complicated track record. A new user today, you start today, they're not going to know about TinyMCE. They'll just have Gutenberg from day one and never whine about it like everyone else is doing, because that's just the way it is. They won't be spoiled by their experience in years past when everything was so much simpler. It's just JavaScript from day one. While we were building simple PHP plugins and thinking we were so cool years ago. So I think there's an advantage of coming in at this stage or later and not having the history that we do, which kind of can be an anchor of sorts.
Yeah, I agree. I would love to see what your dad has interest in. I mean, you know, I'm going to have to give him a call. If he wants to reach out to me, have him reach out to me.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, maybe. You have lots of wisdom and you know what it is like to work in the industry while being bearded man.
Yeah, thank you.
There is a minimum baseline technical ability required to work remotely. This is in a WordPress or internet specific thing, really. But to be able to work remotely, one must be able to obviously own and use a computer, navigate the internet, type reasonably quickly, use email, and probably use a real time chat application.
Mm-hmm. Like Slack.
Sure. Yeah. These are like really the minimum technical requirements to be qualified for any remote job. It doesn't have to be in WordPress. I mean, like a medical transcriptionist or like a salesperson or a cold caller or whatever. Right. Like all kinds of other industries have remote opportunities. I'm always making the comparison between what we do and many more traditional sectors and thinking about how long it takes to get comfortable with a set of tools and tasks. So say someone has never built a website before, but you know, they've got the basics, they've used the internet, they can manage the basics of pointing and clicking and typing. How long would it be before they could know enough about WordPress and maybe some page builders to build a presentable website? I mean, like, really, how long would that take?
1 week.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would argue, I'm with you, like, for some, it could take weeks of practice and learning.
Right.
Or for others, maybe days or even hours, depending on how fast you are.
And how motivated.
Learning this and, like, you know, how familiar you are with just, like, using simple building software. Mm-hmm. Or just, like, how persistent you are and focused. But really, I do believe that on the long end, we're talking weeks.
Right.
There's no test at the end. There's no other students along with you, and it's just getting familiar with these basic tools. Like it's really not that hard.
Right.
Compare that to enrolling yourself in a college course, knowing that you may very well be years away from being taken seriously by employers. Like, wow, the difference is incredible. The stuff we do, really, I mean, we take pride in it. We think we're special, but it's not that hard. It's really not that hard.
Correct.
This is a great industry for workers because there are more jobs than people, lots of money in the space available. You can set yourself apart if you're really great, and if you are, the sky truly is the limit. But even if you are not very skilled or experienced, you actually still can participate and make a living. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of other industries where like the people at the bottom skill level, the true beginners, don't make a living. They have to make sacrifices and they have to work really hard and they have to gain experience and they have to put in their time while not making a living, while maybe being supported by a spouse or debt or living with family or something, because the wages are not living wages until they get to a certain level. No, I think in our industry, living wages can be found at the beginner level.
I think so. However, being a transplant from West to East Coast, I will tell you that it's much harder for beginning people to start on the West Coast in certain places where you live, certain towns, certain cities, that expense is, it can be high. And it can be tough unless you have a supporting a partner, a spouse with another or a second job for that matter, you know, or a full time job or a part time job, you know, making up that difference. Because, yeah, you know, you're not going to go out cranking out. You know, it's one of those things where you kind of have to start almost on the side as a side hustle a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of remote employers. Well, I mean, remote employers do understand this generally, and it is common for cost of living to be a factor in determining your compensation. Mm-hmm. So many employers have either strongly or even just a little bit factor in the cost of living where you live when determining your salary. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty common.
Right.
You live in a high cost of living area, you will oftentimes get a higher salary.
Right. I mean, I remember when back in the day, you know, it's about, you know, everyone's gonna work for Matt one day, that reference point, you know, mm-hmm. he used to do the Matt chat for everybody across the board. And at the end of that, which could be a day or two or three because of the asynchronous, is that what it is? Whatever the conversations would happen over time. The last question that, you know, we hear on the rumor mill from people we know, you know, would be like, what do you need to do this job? And that question was like, you know, financially. You know, and because they take that into account, they have a range based again on where you live, you know, so you'd say the number, you know, and it went from there, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because everybody, you're right. I mean, me living back in Redondo Beach versus here, North Carolina, my number is different. It's I want much more money now. Yeah. So Matt and I are still having these conversations.
Yeah.
We're not. He barely knows who I am anymore.
Yeah. He would remember.
Yeah, actually, I stood right behind him on stage.
Here are some jobs which do not require a lot of technical experience. Number one, all of them. yeah, that's what I would argue. Actually, like virtually every job in our industry, like what we would consider a lot of technical experience, no. Like all of them could be learned in a relatively short amount of time,
right?
By someone who is very committed,
right?
Maybe some of the top, most complicated ones could probably take years of persistence,
right? Because
really, it's be capable. But
it's like that old. There's an analogy there where, you know, the minimal viable product, but also like the concept of, you know, 95% done is good enough because no one's going to see the extra 5%. You're always going to be learning that extra 5%. If you're learning code, Gatsby, jQuery, JavaScript, whatever it may be, you know, to get to that, like, is anyone perfect? No.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There are definitely a lot of people, like, making the salaries of, like, what doctors would make
right.
in our industry, but they didn't go to school for 8 years.
Right. To do this. So who's smarter, the doctor or the person making them? Yeah, I think that person's right. smarter. They didn't spend $150,000, $200,000.
Right. Yeah. Know? They don't have the student debt.
Right.
But they do have the six-figure salary.
Right. Yeah, I'm an idiot. I should not have gone to law school. I mean, med school.
you can, but if you want to be more serious, like I think that there are some opportunities to consider, like, for example, tier one tech support mm-hmm. is huge. Like there is so much need for tech support across this industry for all these companies, hosting companies and SaaS companies and plugin and theme companies and support specific companies. Tons of them have a huge need for tier one. And these are the people who don't necessarily like need to know and understand code. Like you can learn this in a relatively short amount of time. A lot of times it's more about having customer service skills, like being able to communicate using our language, the language of the customer, and be polite and be responsible and help guide them in the right direction without needing to troubleshoot a complex application. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff that a lot of times people just learn on the job.
Right. Supporters are a lot of people right, start. Yeah.
Yeah. Blogging is a big thing. Like, you know, it's a skill, but, you know, some might not classify it as like a technical skill that, you know, you can practice and become good at blogging. Or, you know, lots of companies have little administrative type roles like an event planner. You know, I mean, how technical do you need to be? You got to learn, you know, the tools that are available and be able to coordinate people a little bit, or a manager. You know, if you've had management experience elsewhere in your career that wasn't in tech and wasn't remote, you know, that's experience that does still translate. You got to be able to get people on the same page and communicate with them and translate the company's vision down to the lower level employees and motivate them. Website assembler, you know, there's always a need for small businesses who need people who can just point and click their way to a presentable website. Mm-hmm. Community evangelist, maybe. CEO. you don't need any skills to be one.
Look at that. I mean, I'm doing it.
Yeah, right. Right. Case in point.
Case in point. All right. I think he gets the gist. I think we're good there. You?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So. I'm looking forward to seeing his contribution.
Yep.
And also one last thing, podcasting about technology.
Oh, doesn't take any skill to do that.
None at all. Okay, moving on. Question number two, I'll read this one. Hey, Adam and Kyle, this is Joey J from Singapore. I'd like your advice on caching plugins. Firstly, a caching plugin is a caching plugin an absolute must to use. Currently, I use W3 Total Cache. I know Kyle doesn't like it, but thinking about removing it to reduce the number of plugins, I don't use any SEO plugins either. Do you think it's a good idea? Or if you were to choose one caching, which would you recommend? Preferably free, as my website is hobby and makes no money. Also, by the way, I recently attended my first ever WordCamp in Singapore. Enjoyed it very much. I'll try meetups next time. I remember you encouraging me to attend WordCamp with the previous episodes. Thanks for that, Joey.
Cool.
Thanks, totally
Joey.
Cool.
You're awesome.
Yeah. And real quick, if I'm not mistaken, I think Joey just recently had a gallery showing of his photography in Singapore.
Really?
Yeah. I saw something on Twitter, which was awesome. So congratulations to that as well. So, thanks for the question. Caching plugins, options. Obviously, there's the easy, low-hanging fruit of option one. Don't use them.
What's option two?
Use all of them at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Smart.
You know, I'm torn on them. I mean, I do use them. I use, I can't think of the one. I use FastCache, I think it's called right now.
Oh my goodness.
I think it's the one I'm using.
I don't even know about that one.
I have to double check. I'll link to the show notes, Joey, so I'll link to the one that I'm actually using. I think it's called FastCache. And if I have time here while Kyle's talking, I'll look it up. So what do you have on this, Kyle?
Okay, you want me to talk? Because I'll talk a little bit.
Take 30 seconds.
Yeah. Did you know that W3 Total Cache was just acquired?
Yes. Boldgrid team, the investment arm of Boldgrid, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty interesting.
I thought it was big news. And I'm not surprised that ultimately happened, but like the biggest surprise is it didn't happen sooner.
Right.
Because it seemed like it was a project for a long time with a founder who wasn't that enthusiastic about it anymore and was moving on to other things. And like, how come he's not selling it? There are people who want to buy that thing. And if anytime you have a plugin that with that many users, like you're getting acquisition offers every day.
Right.
And so it's crazy that it took this long for Frederick Towns to, you know, take some money for it. Although I think he's still involved somehow. So I don't really know the situation of the business, but W3 Total Cache is getting new resources for the first time and is working with the Boldgrid team. Mm-hmm. And maybe, I mean, we can only hope for as many websites as it's powered on that the future is good. You know, because something's got to change because that thing has been stupid. And I'm Joey's right. I've not been a fan. I think that it's been like the worst for a long time. And I still don't recommend it. Like I wouldn't recommend using it until a lot of changes happen. But unfortunately, there's a lot of other solutions which are pretty good, pretty reputable. Mm-hmm. WP Rocket is like really popular.
I
think that they do a good job. They have a solid business and they're like really backing up their product. But there are also a few other plugins, like, and this is kind of funny, it's like the superhero series. There's Super Cache, mm-hmm. and Bat Cache and Spider Cache available for free, all of those on the plugin directory. You can give those each a try. I think some of them are pretty light and straightforward. You know, so if you want like a lean caching plugin that takes care of just like some of the basics, check out some of the superhero ones. I think WP Rocket is a pretty good business solution. I would trust my business site with that.
The one I'm using, I looked it up. The one I'm using is WP Fastest Cache is what I'm using right now.
I guess I have heard of that.
And it's a logo of a leopard, I think, or I think it's a leopard or cheetah on the picture as the image. So, and the reason I'm using it is because I had an issue way back with WP Rocket in what might have been Beaver Builder. It was having a hiccup where it wasn't playing nicely with it for some reason, early days of Beaver Builder and of the plugin. So I'm sure at this point they've fixed it. I know some of the people on the team over there as well. Lucy Beer is over there. So it's a solid team.
A plugin isn't always like appropriate or ideal as like the tool to solve your problem if caching is a need of yours, because caching isn't just caching anymore. Mm-hmm. Caching is like pretty complicated. There are a lot of layers to caching. Mm-hmm. You can cache entire pages, you can cache parts of the page, cache the assets, cache the query, cache the object, and more. So there are all these different layers to it. And if your site is at all complicated, especially with like dynamic components like logged in users or cart systems, of course, checking out in an e-commerce context, then those... are inherently complicated when mixed with a caching tool, because you can have big website problems if your caching is not is like a little too aggressive or caching the wrong things. And there are a lot of times where caching is like only minimally important too. I think it can make a difference, you know, when you're using CDN. It can make a difference when you're operating regionally or nationally or internationally. It can make a it obviously makes a difference the technical makeup of your website.
Let me ask you this.
Also, like the technology powering your website. Like, so sometimes, like if you're running headless, if you're using Gatsby or Jekyll or something like that and running a headless website and basically generating static HTML, then no. For one, the plugins wouldn't work.
Right.
They wouldn't do anything. But for two, your site is not going to need it because it's going to be blazing fast already.
Right. Yeah. So do you don't hate caching the way you don't have the same despicable I don't know, just some bad word here, as you do with sliders, do you?
No.
Okay.
That was certainly not. Caching is a necessary part.
Right.
I mean one could get on a soapbox and rant a little bit about like why caching is why it's stupid that we
need
have
it
to have we need it because we've made the web pages so bloated that it is really important for us to find ways to serve lighter or preloaded versions
so,
of them.
So make all web pages look like Craigslist is what you're saying.
I mean, if yes, like one could argue things like that. Like if we got away from like the simple architecture and now things are so complicated and bloated that websites are slow. They're really slow.
Right.
And we're doing anything to get them to load reasonably fast. And even then, it's not all that fast. So like we have kind of ruined the internet by standardizing these like web design practices and cluttering up websites in such a way that nothing can load in a reasonable amount of time. And we have to use caching. It's kind of like a symptom of a greater problem. And one could argue about that, but also one could just like get over themselves and accept that some of these things are needed. And the needs of the web today are complicated, and caching is a part of that, like it or not.
Right. Cool.
But not all of it is done by a WordPress plugin. If you're running a website, so like some can be done via other tools that connect to your website or on the server
itself. Thanks for the question, Joey. Awesome.
It could be an interesting question to answer in the future, like dive into cases where we think caching is important versus cases where caching is
not
less important.
Right.
And I think that would be a rabbit hole right now, and we're not going to do it. But if somebody asks a follow-up question, we will try and be more specific about it.
Sounds good. All right, it is time for our segment. This week we are doing...
It's time for the personal question.
Oh, yeah. The personal question. This one's interesting. I mean, I'm ready. I was ready for this with you. You were struggling a little bit earlier. But and it's ironic that we actually have the question. Well, okay. So I'm gonna ask you mine first. Ready?
All right. Sure.
You are the oldest of seven, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my personal question to you is this. Which sibling are you the least closest to and why? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how much does that bug you?
Well, least closest in age would be my youngest brother.
No, I meant more of an emotional and friendship-related concept.
Oh, darn.
Yeah,
darn.
Nice try.
That's a little harder.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Nipping you in the bud, buddy.
Wow. I don't know. This is a weird question.
It's a personal question.
This is a recorded context. Like, this is not...
I know. It's, yeah.
I really have to answer this?
No, dang. You don't have to. I mean, if you don't...
I can dance around it. Probably what I'll do is like not even directly answer the question because I don't know if I want to go on record like with a direct answer to this question ever. And I'm not even sure that honestly I know what the correct answer is. But I can dance around it and say that my relationship with my siblings is not what I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up all pretty close in close environment. We were all homeschooled kids living on a farm with each other every day.
Mm-hmm.
And
but that's changed. Yeah. That ended 5, 7, 8 years ago? 10 years ago?
Maybe when I got married, like 10 and a half years ago.
Okay.
But it's not what I expected,
Okay. Definitely.
But I was naive being young. I definitely thought, you know, when you're young, you think that things will kind of remain the same, and then they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been sad at times with how some of these relationships have evolved. Like there's been more distance than I thought there would be.
Physical distance, like as far as geographic.
Well, yeah. And we see each other far less than I ever thought. More of them moved away than I thought, because I didn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I moved out of my parents' house and bought a house here in the same town, and I've never left. But pretty much everybody else has left.
Hmm.
And some have come back and been in and out. But I'm the only one who, like, of the seven who never left this town. So I didn't really predict that. So there's been geographical distance. There's been less frequent encounters than I ever expected. It's funny, like I feel like as you grow, you become more of yourself. And I don't really know a better way to put that, but I have like, when we were young, like some differences might have been really minor. Like we might've noticed that me and another like had slight tendencies towards, you know, like, I don't know, being more social or less social or more interested in this hobby than that hobby, or more conversational or more athletic or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like whatever our little distances, they were less striking in our youth. And now we kind of like have really become that much more.
Yeah.
I like them more completely. And so those differences become much bigger. And some of us have changed. Some in my family probably would argue that I have changed a lot.
Yeah,
I think. I don't know. It's hard to say like what other people would think, but I think I have changed a lot. And my experience has been different than anybody else. Like I've entered an industry that nobody else has, and I'm working remotely, and I'm working with a very diverse group of people, and I have traveled more than anybody in my family. I don't know. My experiences have just been different. And my personality is a little bit different. So
yeah, it is.
Suddenly, like, I don't know. I think everybody in a family feels kind of like they're the black sheep, but I'm no exception. I feel at times like I stand out in some way. Mm-hmm. Like I'm weird in the group.
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
Weird.
Don't know.
Hey, embrace it, buddy. Embrace it.
Yeah. I'm not ashamed or anything, but I do wish that we were closer and saw each other more.
Okay.
But I think I'm coming to terms with it that we're all just you know, becoming the people that we're going to be.
And you're all really still really young. Things can change in the next 5-10 years. You know, I've seen it happen with other friends with extended families, big families, and everyone moves away and people kind of come back, you know, so don't be surprised.
You know, I think you're right. And that is actually a spot on observation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. Nice dance. What do you got for me?
I've got a question for you.
Oh, I'm scared.
I don't know if you should be scared. So I was watching my football or something the other day, and I got thinking along these, I got on this like line of thinking about times, things that have occurred to me that I will never actually experience that like hit me in a moment. Like I was watching maybe a commercial or something, and I see the guys on the football team running out of the tunnel to a crowd of cheering fans, and thinking to myself, like, that looks so cool. That would be so fun. And then reminding myself, like, that ship has sailed. Like, I will never experience that. That is out of the question, impossible for me to experience now in this lifetime. And maybe that's a silly for it to like kind of hit me now, but still I'm kind of young, early 30s, and there are a lot of things that I'm starting to go, oh dang, I guess that's pretty much out of the question now for my life. And when you're young, you can still like have this idea that really anything is still on the table. Mm-hmm. Some things are now off the table. Mm-hmm. Can you share any moments where something hit you a little bit, and we don't need to get like too sappy, I guess, but like some things that struck you, like, well, that ship has sailed. And how did you cope with it?
So, I honestly, this sounds maybe randomly, but it's connected to the sports concept, you know, coming through the tunnel. I believe had a shot at doing something on a hike on an Olympic level when I was younger.
Wow.
Yeah. As a swimmer, I swam competitively. I was pretty good. But it's a massive sacrifice to a family to pursue that. And I have always been relatively competitive, which always kind of surprised me looking at my own kids versus myself. I mean, I'm still competitive. I still work, you know, I do what I do. My kids are like, eh. Well, anyway, total separate story. So at this point, obviously, I'm not going to the Olympics to compete. Unless I looked into it most recently, the Winter Olympics, I'm like, you know, the curling was a big popular thing. The U.S., you know, the U.S. did well. I'm like, there's no age there. But most of the things that I wanted to do, I'm like, you know, from the overall fitness level things, you know, swimming, I wanted to be a downhill GS, a giant slalom skier. I was very competitive in downhill skiing younger. So swimming was probably my closest thing at one point. So I looked into the Winter Olympics just last time they came around, the biathlon. That would be the last chance, you know, based on age and whatever, or curling, yeah. But I'd rather be biathlon. Anyway, I was kind of bummed at that. When that hit me, I don't know, I have a birthday the day after the recording of this episode, but the lack of support from my family, my parents specifically back then, when I was at that precipice, if you will, there was interest in a coach to have me kind of go to that next level. I was interested in doing it, but without the support of family, parents, wasn't going to happen. I think about it from time to time. I think about it every 4 years, honestly. You know, I do. You know, so
yeah.
I've just accepted that fact. So now, actually, my newest realization on this is this: I'm swimming again a lot now. I'm back in the pool consistently, trying to train for this race next year. I have a goal of doing a specific race. And looking at my age now, my age group in the master swim program, like the top 10 records for freestyle and or butterfly. So if I joined masters and I was competitive, I would possibly get a top 10 record based on speed. I may not be number one. I'll take top 10. You know, like I'll take number two for North Carolina to your Michigan. I'll take, you know, for cities, for industry. But so the fact that I can still get a record, or that I'm so competitive that way, helps me day to day. So, interesting. Yeah, you're right. It was one of the things that, I mean, I always wanted to play McEnroe, Center Court, Wimbledon. I could do that now as a fundraiser, but I'm not going to play competitively against him because he's retired and, you know, my tennis game is, I haven't played in a while, you know, that kind of thing. Mm. We all have our sports dreams. I think it's very common for people to have athletic dreams if you're an athlete. So now my pursuit would be train for this race, join a master swim program, possibly compete and rank in the top 10 for an age group, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to be a world record holder. That's for sure.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
So, anyway,
definitely like the physically demanding.
Yeah.
I don't know. Life experiences are the ones that very obviously go.
It has to go. That's the reality. Yeah. So,
yeah. And it doesn't always like hit you at like a very specific moment, but it could be any time.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. So. There were lots of those. I never had the experience of like going away to college and doing that. Like that seems like that's a very important life experience for a lot of people. Like what Avalon's doing right now.
Right.
I never did that. And that ship has sailed. Like I'll never know what that was like to do the dorm thing and just like live in college. And like, I don't really care, but there was a time in my life where I thought like that sounded important.
Right.
And I was missing out.
Well, I can tell you, I didn't have the freshman year experience. Like those first 2 years I lived at home and I transferred as a junior. So Avalon's having an experience I didn't. And Ellen and I have talked about it and this and that, but we'll talk about it some other time. But yeah, you know, it's interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So, all right.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna take us out. Thanks for listening. Be sure to email us questions@getoptionspodcast.com or use that SpeakPipe functionality of the website, the feature there. You want to mention where they can find us?
The internet.
Nice. Nicely done. So, really? That's it? The internet. Twitter. You can find Kyle at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Hey Adam Silver. We are at @get_options. We're also on SoundCloud. Oh, say goodbye, Lord Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Beep. Do you want to tell them joke now?
No.
You sure?
It's rude.
All right. If you want the joke, you got to call me personally or email me. I'll email. Hey, Sarah, if you're listening, let me know. I'll tell you the joke later.
If you're 16 and you're a boy, you would think it's funny.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's all.